episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
We are almost there, Seth. We are on the doorstep of the football season beginning, and I feel ready.
I feel happy.
It's been a long off season, and then I think about mid-July, I was like, I'm not really too excited about football yet, but now that September has rolled around, I'm there. Yeah. I'm ready.
I'm not going to lie. You had me a little worried about mid-July, the lackluster that I was getting from you in terms of it. I thought maybe it was a long con. Maybe you were trying to sneak out a little bit of, I'm not really preparing much for the draft. Maybe trying to set me off my apprehension of you. But no, I think that you were just in hibernation mode and had yet to come out of your den.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for everything, and mid-July is not my fantasy football time or place. You got to store up the energy, to conserve your power to then use it at the right time. So that's the strategy.
We're going to find out tonight if you feel like you were able to do so effectively, because it is the episode 2 of our most anticipated episode of the year, that being the post-draft review. Pete, how are you feeling about last week's episode, the cliffhanger, as it were, going into this week? And have you been able to do a little bit of prep and research going into tonight's episode?
Yeah, I'm ready for tonight's episode. I felt like last week's episode was a lot of fun and a little different than how we normally do it, but I thought it was fun. I almost am nervous for this week because I feel like last week set a pretty high bar in terms of capturing the draft. And the moment and sort of the feel and the flow of it. So I'm hopeful that we're not too dry tonight as we get into more of the true analysis of what exactly each team is made up of.
Well, I don't know how dry the beautiful cold hard facts can actually be. I mean, they're thrilling, but I certainly understand there is a little bit of a contrast between the light and airy coming off the adrenaline rush post-draft and this week's just looking at the facts, madam, as we investigate and analyze the rosters as they were on that day of days, draft day, just weeks ago.
Indeed. Yeah, so a little bit of housekeeping as we get started. Mm-hmm. There has been some movement, some roster change, some a trade one trade that's happened. There's been a key injury or a holdout or two, but today we will be looking specifically at teams as they were drafted, snapshot in time, walking out of the draft. How do we feel about the team, the players, how the manager performed and set himself up for success for the season.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pete, tell me a little bit about how you are going to be analyzing and really what is the methodology of which you come up with your grade?
You know, there's going to be a lot of my own bias to this because it's my grade.
Of course,
it's my own grade. So I'm going to be sort of biased to, I guess, how I view the draft. And so, I'm a lot about the value that you get for the dollars that you spend in the draft. That's where I go a lot when I'm thinking about the draft, maybe to my own detriment in some cases. But I'm also, I think this year probably more so than prior years, I'm also going to be giving a little bit more weight to the starting lineup that a team has drafted, because I feel like that's kind of what you've got. Even though it's a long season, it's a weekly competition. And so coming into week one, how strong is your team that you're able to field? And so I'm going to be giving a little more weight to exactly what that starting lineup will be when giving out a draft, because, depth is great, but if you can't use it, then it's not, it's not really helping you.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. I think that will go nicely hand in hand. I'll be interested to see how much more in alignment our grades are this year. Typically, in years past, you and I have taken or attempted to take slightly different angles when it comes to our grading or different approaches in the methodology. If anything, we're creating fantastic radio fodder, but creating that dynamic between the two of us as respectable hosts. However, I think tonight, based on what I'm looking at and what I've built into the data that I'm pulling, I imagine that our grades will probably be a little bit more similar. I do have some weighted objectivity, despite recent claims of other managers. I do make a sincere effort to be objective with about 80% of my numbers. There is 20% subjectivity inside my grading this evening. I'll explain that presently, but I am going to do my very best to present fair and accurate grades based on what I see and what I value.
All right, let's get after it.
Here's how I'm evaluating teams. I put everything in four buckets this time around. So what we're looking at is this. I've got what I call the value comparison points. I've got, on top of that, a power rank points. I've got draft chops, and I've got, of course, my patented sexy factor. The draft chops and sexy factor are the subjective weights of the grade. Each one is a possible 10 points. So I can award 10 points for draft chops and 10 points for the sexy factor. The other 80 points come from an algorithm inside Poker Face. 40 points each, 40 points assessed for the valuation based on the rank of the manager and who got the best bang for their buck. And then the power rankings. And each of those is actually built on a curve already. And so that's where most of the curve comes from within the weight, meaning that if you are the first place of the evaluation, you're going to get all 40 points. If you are last place, you're going to get the minimum amount of points, which in this case is, since there are 12 of us, 3.33 points.
Got it.
Make sense?
Yep. It's very, very scientific. All right. Well, we're going to go around the horn, starting with nomination order. There's really no better way to do it.
That's right.
We're going to start with Derek's team then. As with each team, I'll give a quick rundown. I'll kick it to you for your thoughts. I'll come back with mine. We'll grade the team and move on as briefly as we can as we try to get through 12 teams here in a reasonable amount of time.
Sounds good.
Derek kept Juju Smith-Schuster as his keeper for $4. He then complimented Juju with Mike Evans and Jarvis Landry as his starting wideouts. He has Saquon Barkley, the rookie, at running back, as well as Devonta Freeman. His tight end is Austin Hooper. At quarterback, he's got Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's got the Houston Texans as his defense. I'm not going to worry about kickers because they're all the same. So what do you think about Derek's team?
So Derek did not have a ton of value. In fact, he ranked pretty low on value. He also did not have a lot of firepower. He doesn't have a lot of top players to depend on. And because of that, his objective valuation points out of a possible 80 was only 26.67. I gave him a 7 on draft chops because, like I said last week, I think he carried himself really well. He ended up just being a valiant competitor, and I really enjoyed drafting next to him, and there were some times where he made some great calls and made some great up bids, and I really, really liked that. Ultimately, though, I didn't think his team was very sexy. Gave him 3 points to sexy, so his total gross points nets him a D-.
Oh, wow. That's a harsher letter grade than I was expecting, based on your initial assessment.
My numbers don't lie.
All right. Oh, if you don't dislike it, I feel like the D minus is a little bit rough there.
I know. I feel like I want to give it like my actual grade versus the Poker Face numeric grade.
I think you should.
All right. Well, and that's the case. I'd give him a B-.
A B-.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's a little high.
I mean,
no. So, my view of Derek's team is, I agree, it's not a lot of value and not a lot of firepower. I think some of his top players would be Saquon Barkley, Mike Evans, Juju, and Devonta Freeman and Jarvis Landry. Those are kind of his top players. And I think when you're looking at top five players, there's not a whole lot in there that wows me. It's kind of the second or third tier of players in their positions. And I just don't really like Evans or Landry this year. I feel like Landry's movement to the Browns is not going to be great for him as a fantasy player.
Right.
I'm not sure what to make of Barkley. Maybe he's the next number one running back. It could happen, but I don't know about that at this point. So there's not a whole lot I get excited about here. And then, the depth is a concern for me as well. Not for what's on his bench, but for what is actually going to be in his starting lineup. I think both the tight end and the flex positions are going to be pretty soft, at least to start the year. So I've got Derek slotted at a C-.
All right.
Okay, next up, move right along. Me, I kept Le'Veon Bell at $48, the highest keeper ever.
Did you say he was the highest keeper ever in the history of our league?
No one's ever paid more for a keeper.
Yeah,
than.
Yeah. That's I didn't know that.
Yeah, I added Melvin Gordon as another running back there, as well as Rex Burkhead at running back. Then went to wide receiver. I had Stephon Diggs, Pierre Garçon, and Robbie Anderson. And my quarterback is Phillip Rivers. At tight end, I've got Jordan Reed and Jack Doyle, with the Vikings as the defense. I felt pretty good coming out of the draft, but what say you?
Peter, you've got a decent amount of firepower. You've got a top 10, you've got a mid 20, you've got a mid 30, you've got a mid 40, you have five mid 50s and up. And the rest of your players that would be deemed kind of the benchworthy players is one of the lowest tallies at just six. So you are definitely front heavy. And because of that, you score higher on your actual power ranking pointage. Your valuation is also pretty darn good. You ranked right in the middle in terms of money spent versus bang for your buck. Overall, I gave you 9 on your draft chops because you're pretty solid, but I did manage to sneak away from you, and so I docked you there. And then your team is dead sexy at 8 points, according to me, the depth of which nets you about 80 points on my scale, giving you a solid B-.
Okay. All right, I will take it. We'll go with that. I gave myself a B+, which is kind of upper middle tier of the draft. I felt like I executed my strategy that I wanted to. I wanted to have some studs at the top of the lineup, so I feel like I have that with Le'Veon and Melvin Gordon. And then after that, it was really about getting quality players for good prices. And I think, in my opinion, I was able to do that well with the wide receivers of Garçon and Anderson, Nelson Aguilar, as well as Tevin Coleman and Alfred Morris as backup running back. So pretty happy with how it turned out. Gave myself a B+. So feel good about it overall.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to Chewy. Chewy kept Matthew Stafford as quarterback for $2. He then also drafted Cam Newton to complement Stafford. At running back, he went with Jerick McKinnon, Joe Mixon, and Deion Lewis. And then at wide receiver, he's got T.Y. Hilton, Manny Sanders, Brandon Cooks, and Sammy Watkins. Tight end is Jimmy Graham and Ricky Seals-Jones, with the Eagles as his defense. I think during the draft, I liked Chewy's team quite a bit in terms of some of the picks he was making. I felt like he had some sharp grabs like Mixon and Ricky Seals-Jones, Manny Sanders. I liked all those players a lot. I thought those were good grabs. Mm-hmm. But looking at it on paper, he also has some players I was trying to shy away from, like T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Cooks, and Sammy Watkins. So those are three of his top four wide receivers.
Right.
I didn't really like them, and so that hurts my view of his team. What do you think about it?
Well, when I got into the numbers on Chewy, I was trying to assess his strategy. It looks like he, of all of us in the draft, or all of us in the league, it looks like he was trying to legitimately go for value. And I think that's why he ended up with some of the players that he did, is he didn't want to overpay or didn't want to pay for the big guys. You saw, he did overpay by $16 for his running backs, but that is honestly minimal compared to what most of us paid over for our running backs. He overpaid for his wide, surprisingly, by about $18, but he underpaid in most other places, including his QB, where he had a keeper to help him out there, as well as his tight end. So I think his strategy was to go for value. And the problem with that, based on the economy this year, is I think it just made him end up with a lackluster team. He ended up with zero top 10 candidates and just one top 26. And in fact, most of his Battlefront actually ends up being bottom heavy. Most of his tiers fall well after position 60. And as a result of that, he ranked pretty low in power rank for me. And the overall grade had him down in the ninth hole position, which gave him a D minus.
Yeah, I am with you on this one. I don't see anyone who is really worth more than like $30 on his team. And level of player we're talking about here. So maybe some good depth, maybe some things that will pop up. You know, he hit on some good picks last year that I maybe didn't see it on those. So maybe something will change here, but I've got him as my lowest grade of the draft at a D.
Mm. Okay. Sorry, Chewy. It's not because it's, let's be clear, I need to evaluate. Now, does this have anything? I feel like mine was fairly objective, but the media will immediately assume that you are seeking revenge as a losing commissioner in light of recent events.
No, when I looked at his starting lineup and the players that will slot into it, and this is including keeping Jarrett McKinnon in the starting lineup,
right,
mind you, and McKinnon is now out for the year, obviously. I'm still looking at McKinnon in the starting lineup. He's got the lowest dollar value going into the starting lineup,
yeah,
of how I consider the players to be worth. So there is some bias in terms of it's my player evaluations, not you know, an objective source.
Sure.
But you know, that's my grade that's I'm going off of. So yeah, I feel like he is fielding one of the weakest teams to start the year. The projected points for the week one would back that up. So we'll see how it turns out, but I've got him as my lowest graded team.
All right,
next up on the list is Michael. Also kept a quarterback, Carson Wentz, for $1, which is interesting with him coming back from injury, but that gave him lots of money to spend elsewhere. In fact, he spent $195 of his budget on running backs and wide receivers, starting with Todd Gurley for $76. I added LeSean McCoy for $31. Then over at wide receiver, he picked up Odell Beckham for $71. Then he added Cooper Kupp, Josh Doctson. And then I kind of like some of his later picks, like Mike Williams, Cortland Sutton, Corey Clement, Latavius Murray. Some depth picks there I thought were pretty decent. His tight end is Charles Clay, holding down the fort in Buffalo with seemingly no other talented players around him. And his defense is the Tennessee Titans. And I don't recall them having a good defense, so we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a mystery to me because he did spend, like you said, $195 on players. And he didn't necessarily blow his budget in terms of the overall valuation of players. Like, it looks like it's pretty average in terms of what he paid over. For instance, $111 paid for $80 worth of running backs and $84 paid for $66 worth of wide receivers. So you don't think that's all that bad. But then I look at the average positional ranking of his players, and he is the ranked lowest. So he spent all $111 on an average positional ranking of 48.5 for his running backs. And for his wide receivers, same deal. He's number 12. He spent $84 for average positional ranking 49 for his players. And so he spent all of his money, but they weren't on very good players, is what my assessment is. When I look at the actual tier count based on his selections, he has two top 10 players, and beyond that, he's got nothing.
Yeah, I feel like his core is strong. Like, his first four players, Gurley and OBJ and McCoy and Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
I like all those players. That's a good core. But then it just, it's pretty soft around that. And I don't see it as much for the rest of his team. And I don't think those four are going to be able to really shoulder the load and you know, carry the weight of the team for the season. So I've got him graded out as a C,
mm-hmm,
which is number 8 amongst all the teams. So, you know, I do like parts of it. You know, if you have a solid core, that core works out, you can kind of add pieces around it during the year. So it gives you a good shot, but right now it's not real solid around that core.
Yeah. I gave him a 5 for draft chops because I didn't think he was irrelevant, but I didn't think he was overly. This is just kind of a neutral grade. And I gave him 5 on sexy factor. I don't think his team is very good, but as you said, it was kind of bolstered back up by a couple of the top picks. So overall, though, I've got him ranked 11 of 12, and he does have the D-.
All right. Next up is Jared. Jared kept Adam Thielen for $4, added to his wide receivers with Keenan Allen, paid $69 for him, and Marvin Jones, paid $18 for him. At running back, he went with Lamar Miller and Jordan Howard. At tight end, he has Travis Kelce, and at quarterback, he paid up for Aaron Rodgers. His defenses are the Saints and the Redskins. I'm not sure if he's planning on using one in the first week versus the rest of the season. But overall, I think this ended up being a pretty good draft. It's a pretty balanced team. Mm-hmm. When you looked at having one of the top quarterbacks, one of the top tight ends, his wide receivers aren't shabby. Running backs are not the top group of running backs. They're kind of in the, maybe they're a first round running back, or a top 12 running back. Maybe they're kind of towards the middle of the second group of running backs. But overall, I think it's a pretty solid team. I liked it. He did good scores for me in terms of the value of the total lineup and then what he can actually plug into his starting lineup. So I like this team.
Yeah, I do too. He's you know, we talked about his draft struggles, and as we mentioned last week, that we really thought that was more mind over matter than the reality of it, because his actual reality and the takeaway of his team, it may not have been his plan, but he turned out a great-looking team, and I really do like it. And so for that reason, I gave him higher draft chops, because as we discussed, that he could have folded and burned getting knocked off his rocker, but instead he saddled up, and he did a great job, and he ended up with a fairly sexy team too. He is ranked 4th in both his tier power rankings, because he does have a lot of front-ended firepower, and he's also ranked 4th in terms of value. So at the end of the day, he ended up doing really well on his valuation. And so he ended up with a really solid score, and it put him at a B-.
I have him at a B+. So as the 4th, he'll be my number 4 on my own personal power rankings.
Yeah, he's also number 4 on my power rankings too.
All right, moving on to Ben. Let's see. Ben kept Davante Adams for $25. He added to his wide receiver core with Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree. He took Rob Gronkowski at tight end. Also grabbed Greg Olsen at tight end, so he'll likely have be playing two tight ends each week. His running backs are a little soft. He's got Jay Ajayi, and then Carlos Hyde, I guess, would be his number 2 running back after that. His quarterback is Drew Brees, and his defense is the Rams. So I think there's some good pieces here. The running backs are really challenging. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I liked Ajayi this year. He's pretty good, and I think at $18, that's a good buy. I think Carlos Hyde at $3 is a really good buy, but there's not much else after that. We'll see what Ingram is like when he comes back from his suspension, and I think week 7 is the first time Ben will just use him. So there's certainly some wild cards here. I like Gronk and Davante Adams as kind of his top 2 players. I think those are a couple of good picks. After that, it's a bit of a crapshoot for me.
Yeah. He, out of all 12 of us, he spent the second least on running backs. He spent $35 on $32 worth of running backs. That was only topped by Charles Gaines, who came in swinging and spent $174 of his budget on his wide receivers. And so the firepower there isn't quite there in terms of his running backs, but he ended up getting really, really strong quantity inside the tier 2 and tier 3 draftings. And so he ended up getting points there. In fact, I've got him ranked number 6 in terms of the tiers, which put him at number 6 as well in terms of overall points, because he ended up with a very decent valuation too.
Interesting.
The Yeah, so 50 points out of a possible 80, because he wasn't horribly valued when the final plus minus came out. I gave him 6 for draft chops because he's got a great attitude and he's a lot of fun to draft next to, and he's sharp. And I gave him 7 for sexy because when I read down his team, there's a lot of big names there. Their performance is going to be questionable, but it's not a bad looking team, at least in terms of name power. So he ended up with a pretty decent score. Ultimately, he's walking away with a C+.
Okay, I think I've got a few more question marks after the sort of the top 2-3 players here, and I worry about the ability for him to sustain a solid starting lineup throughout the year. So I've got him as a C as my 10th ranked team, but I'm usually lower on Ben than how he ends up. So I think he can take some solace in that he gets to overperform my expectations for his team again.
A little bit of Ben bias. I get it.
All right, moving on to we're halfway there. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
On to Chris Windsor. He kept Christian McCaffrey for $29. Then also picked up Kenyon Drake and Royce Freeman at running back. His wide receivers are A.J. Green, Corey Davis, and Josh Gordon. Tight end is Evan Ingram. And at quarterback, he's got Dak Prescott with the Chargers as his defense. I like a lot of players here. I think this is a really solid draft. I like McCaffrey. I like Drake. I like A.J. Green. I don't think I would have paid anywhere close to $70 for him, but I like him. I like Corey Davis. And then Josh Gordon is just a huge wild card. He could be, you know, a top 10 wide receiver. He could be virtually a zero. So we'll see what happens there. And then some of the depth options he picked up are interesting as well. So overall, I like this draft. I think it's pretty solid.
I don't dislike his draft. The power ranking is the struggle for me. Of his 16 men on his roster, 14 of them are drafted beyond position 40. Beyond position 40. In fact, he only has 2 top tier players, and they are in the top 24. They're not even in the top 10. And so he is bottom heavy, and he's counting on those sleeper picks on the back half. So because of that, he's actually ranked 12th in terms of firepower within the league. However, his valuation was not terrible. He was ranked 10 in valuation. And I gave him 9 for draft chops because he was there and he was all in, and it was exciting to have him there. I don't think his team is very sexy, so I gave him 3 points. I don't necessarily, you know, get thrilled by the look of his team. So ultimately, he ranked number 10 of 12 with the D- in our league.
Gotcha. I feel like he, you know, considering the circumstances, I feel like he did his research. I think he's got some good, like you said, sleeper picks here, some good kind of late riser value type ads. I think it's a pretty solid core with A.J. Green and Christian McCaffrey. And then I think you just have to kind of wait and see what's going to happen with like Corey Davis, Josh Gordon, and Kenyon. They could be pretty good. So I like this team a little bit better. I think it's very middle of the road with upside. I'll say, depending on how things break with some of these younger players. And I think he has a very young team. So I've got him as the 6th overall rank for me and a letter B grade.
Gotcha.
Moving on to Andy, he kept Dalvin Cook for $29. Then next up at running back, he added Peyton Barber. At quarterback, he has Alex Smith. And then he really spent up at wide receiver with Julio Jones, Doug Baldwin, and Allen Robinson. And I think Randall Cobb rounds out that group. He's got the Patriots as his defense. So certainly he wanted to go wide receiver heavy here, spend $151 on wide receivers in total. He has 7 of them. So a clear strategy to target wide receivers here. I think that part of it worked out pretty well. I like the wide receivers he got. Running back and tight end, and really the quarterback situation is pretty thin, though. So I think there's some work yet to be done there. But coming out of the draft, it's not a disaster. Another kind of middle-of-the-road draft for me.
Yeah, he's right in the middle for me, too. He's ranked number 7 overall in points. His positional rankings are not terrible. In fact, he was ranked number 5 for his positional tiers because he's pretty front heavy. He's actually really, really balanced. In fact, if you were to draft by power ranking, He's got probably the most balanced bell curve across the way. He's got one top 10. He's got one in the top 20. He's got two in the top 36. He's got one in the top 50, one in the top 62. And then the final 10 players are beyond the overall rank 62. So really, he's got a pretty balanced array of firepower, and that boosted him up quite a bit. I gave him 7 for his draft chops because he did it from a bar, and that bar was 9 hours away. I gave it a 5 on sexy, a little bit middle of the road there. So ultimately, his team looks pretty great at a C+.
Yeah, I think you're right. This team kind of looks like a team that you would expect to come out of a snake draft, mm-hmm. where you're picking kind of in the 7 or 8 hole of your snake draft, maybe.
Yeah.
So very balanced team. And I gave him a B- as the number 7 ranked team for me as well.
Nice.
All right, moving on to Brock. He kept Michael Thomas for $4, added wide receivers Jamison Crowder, Devin Funchess. I think good pickups there. His tight ends are Zach Ertz and Delanie Walker, a couple solid ones there. Then at running back, he has David Johnson and Chris Thompson. His quarterback is Russell Wilson, and his defense is the Jaguars. So I think that's just a really stout team overall.
I don't really want to talk about Brock. Do we have to talk about Brock's team?
There's really not a weak spot in the starting lineup there. He has one of the better starting lineups, in my opinion. I think he had good targets in terms of the pass catchers he went for, especially with the running back. He's at Chris Thompson and Duke Johnson, who are two of the best pass catching running backs in the league. And those guys work really well as your second running back. And then I think he spent wisely on the stud he went for, leveraged his keeper well, and then he picked up later on in the draft. So good draft for me. Good team. He's got a good starting lineup and good depth.
That's the thing. I don't know how he did it. He did such an exceptional job. I am so impressed. Even what he netted, he, according to my data, and correct me if I'm wrong, he spent $31 on $94 worth of wide receivers.
Yep, that's what I got to.
How did he do that? How did he do that? And so across the board, he was in first place with value, hands down. He was also, based on his tier count, he looks so solid. He's got two of the top 10, and he's got a little bit of break up into tier number 3. But beyond that, he only has 4 of his bench players, 4 out of 16 players that are beyond the tier 6, which is just stellar. Nobody else has fewer. So ultimately, Brock has the best team. He's got the massive draft chops, although I cut him a little bit. I gave him a 10 on sexy factor because his team looks incredible. But because he was in ranked number 1 across everywhere else, I gave him draft chops of 3 just because I had to stick him somewhere. But he still came across as ranked number 1. He's our A+.
Yeah, I gave him an A, number 1 team for me as well.
Well done, Brock.
Well done, Brock.
Well earned. Somehow you did that from a phone while inebriated. You are better than all of us.
And now you are cursed, right? I don't know if there's a history of that, like the SI magazine Trevor curse or the Madden Trevor curse, but maybe the number 1 overall draft grade, it should be a curse.
It should be. Right? We're thinking pretty highly of our podcast draft grades if we believe that we're on par with the cover of Madden or SI, but I'm gonna go ahead and say that that's a fair assessment of the quality of our broadcasting, and therefore curse is valid.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and check the history, see if there's a trend.
All right,
next up, newbie to lead, Charles.
Charlie.
What was gifted the keeper of Kareem Hunt for $2. He added at running back Jamal Williams and Bilal Powell. Then at quarterback, he took Tom Brady. At tight end, he's got David Njoku for Cleveland. And really where he spent his money is at wide receiver. As you mentioned before, he spent $174 at wide receiver. Antonio Brown for $70, DeAndre Hopkins for $72, and Demaryius Thomas for $30. And then rounded out with some $1 guys. So really spent $172 on 3 players at wide receiver.
Yep.
And I think you know, I think it worked out for him. I think he ended up with a good draft. I think he was well researched in terms of where to spend bid to get those ton of top wide receivers, good use mm-hmm. of the keeper that he had at running back, and then the value plays that he was forced into getting because he had no money left. I think they worked out really well. I think he had some good grabs there.
Yeah, he did.
Later on in the draft, that were some, you know, some good sleeper candidates that he was able to pick up for a dollar or two.
Yeah. I thought Charles did a great job. I gave him 6 points for draft chops because he came out of the gate swinging and keeping up with everyone. We knew it was an act, and we now have proof. The guy knows what he's doing. It's so much fun having him in the league. He's ranked number 3, not only in terms of his positional rankings, which most of his guys are below tier 4. As you pointed out, he picked up some great studs, but he also picked up some incredible value there on the back end. I think he just did a decent amount of research and knew who to scoop up for those $1, $2 purchases there at the end. And so that ranked him 3rd in value and 3rd in the position rankings, which is really, really impressive, which overall meant that between a 6 of draft chops. I gave him 7 points for sexy factor because he's a pretty sexy man and he had a pretty sexy draft. I have him ranked number 3 in our league, which gave him the B+.
I have him ranked as number 2 with an A.
Nice. Well done, Charles. Welcome to the league.
All right, next up is you.
Yeah.
You kept Alvin Kamara, arguably the best keeper, for a dollar. Then you went out and grabbed Ezekiel Elliott as well to complement your running backs. Picked up Matt Ryan at quarterback, Trey Burton at tight end, and your wide receivers are Larry Fitzgerald, Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey, and Kenny Stills. I like your draft. I think the one dean on your draft for me is Alshon Jeffrey. Yep. Don't really like that one. We'll see how it works out. He's going to miss the first couple weeks of the season. Maybe he comes back just fine, and then that's a good buy, but I think $29 was too much to spend for him, and it maybe limited you a couple other places that you could have upgraded. But overall, I really like this draft. I have given you an A- as the number 3 draft in my book.
Thanks very much for that. I appreciate that. I agree with your ding. I was really proud of the fact that I got who I wanted, where I wanted them for the most part. I've got 5 guys in the top 3 tiers, which felt really good, and I still managed to maintain a decent amount of value. In fact, my overall value had me at 2nd for valuation across the league, and my power ranking also had me at 2nd, which I gave myself 8 points for draft chops instead of 10 because the Alshon Jeffrey thing. So I hope you consider that a worthy ding, dropping that down. And I gave my team a 7 on sexy factor because I think it does look good, but it's not like overwhelmingly hot, but pretty decent overall. My score put me ranked number 2, which gives me the A.
Nice. I can't fault you for it. That's a good draft. And looking at the starting lineup, I've got you with $199 of Fantasy Pros value in your starting lineup. My value for it is lower because I'm lower on Alshon Jeffrey than mm-hmm. the Fantasy Pros. So,
yep,
$199 in the starting lineup is the 2nd best overall. I've actually got Charles as number 1 and then Brock as number 3 with the starting lineup value per Fantasy Pros.
Nice.
But yeah, you, Charles and Brock, I think are all right there in terms of the top overall draft.
Our actual raw data is really, really close. Brock is actually a little bit further ahead than Charles and I, but as top 3, I think Charles and I are probably interchangeable between 2 and 3, but there's no question where Brock belongs. Dang it.
All right, last but not least, we have Stott.
Are you sure?
Hush from the peanut gallery.
Are you sure? All right.
Like I was saying, last, and we'll see if the least, Stott kept Chris Hogan for $1. He added Tyreek Hill, Marquise Goodwin, and Robert Woods at wide receiver. His running backs are Leonard Fournette, Alex Collins, and Derrick Henry. At tight end, he has Kyle Rudolph, and at quarterback, he has Kirk Cousins and Andrew Luck, with the Bears as his defense. I like I liked a few of those names. I think that's this one kind of also looks like it would come out of a snake draft to me. Pretty balanced overall in terms of the players he got. You know, I think the pick of Fournette and Henry were both overpays at running back, but that was sort of the name of the game for our draft, was you had to overpay at running back. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that turns out. I think, you know, like we said last week, his running backs to me are all kind of two down, not going to catch the ball a whole lot type of backs, but that could change. They're young. Maybe they'll learn to catch the ball in the offseason and be different players this year. But I think there's a little bit to like here. I wouldn't totally hate on it, Mr. Peanut Gallery, but.
I'm not hating on his team by any means, but I'm pretty sure, as consistent as our rankings have been, that he is ranked number 12 on my chart here. And not to say that makes him the least in our hearts, but he is the least on my chart. And you got to understand, I remember how poorly you were treated, and how strong Scott's memory is when it comes to the draft grade. In fact, we've had him on the show, and he's come out swinging towards Pete, because I had a tendency to favor his team and maybe play it safe across the board a little bit more so than you, which is why I have turned more towards the cold hard stat grade as opposed to my hunch grade, because I think it keeps me a little bit more honest. But in this case, he did not have any firepower in his draft. The overall, he's got two top 26, and beyond that, everything is tier four and beyond. That's all he has. He would be the epitome of the studs and duds, and I don't love his studs. The valuation, I'm trying to figure this one out. I don't think that he was valued poorly, so I think it was close. So I think he got docked on my points there a little bit. Ultimately, I gave him a 5 on draft chops because he was able to somehow magically bid after time had expired a few times, and I gave him kind of a neutral 5 on sexy factor because, again, I don't dislike the picks beyond like I don't think his team is ugly. I just don't think it's overall competitive. My numbers have him at our, I'm going to go ahead and say the F, but he's just ranked 12. So.
I have him at a C. I have him as the number 9 team. I think there is enough here to form a good team, you know, that could beat you each week. I think the real weakness I see would be at tight end, but even then, that's Kyle Rudolph, who's pretty respectable. So if you just looked at who he's going to run out as a starting lineup, Kirk Cousins, I think that's a great start with the weapons in Minnesota. Fournette and Alex Collins or Derrick Henry at running back, and then Hill, Hogan, Goodwin, and Woods for the wide receiver and flex position. I think that's overall pretty solid team. I don't, you know, I think there are worse lineups out there. So I got him at number 9, give him a C. And that brings us to the end. What I'll do is I'm going to publish power rankings. Maybe I'll try to get them out tonight.
Nice.
That will reflect my draft grades for the first commissioner preseason power rankings of the year. But I think this is a good draft. I felt like it wasn't too big of a gap between number 1 and number 12.
No.
Certainly a gap. Obviously, that's how it's always going to go. But sure. It's going to be a competitive season, yep, to say the least.
So as we are running down, I'd love to hear your ranks from 12 to 1. On player, just so I can compare all in one shot.
All right, going 12 would be Chewy, 11 Derek, 10 Ben, 9 Scott, 8 Michael, 7 Andy, 6 Chris Windsor, 5 myself, 4 Jared, 3 you, 2 Charles, 1 Brock.
All right, so for the 12 hole, I've got Scott, 11 Michael, 10 Chris Windsor, 9 Chewy, 8 Derek, 7 Andy, 6 Ben, 5 is Pete, 4 is Jared, 3 is Charles, 2 is myself, and 1, a very, very top 1, is Brock.
We disagree the most on Ben and Chris Windsor. Mm-hmm. They flip-flop between 10 and 6 for you and I.
Well, time will tell who's right, I guess.
Yeah, I think a lot of the teams between 6 and 12, the bottom half of the draft, is where we disagree the most. our top 5 are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fantasy Pros top 5 are all the same as well.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, we're in alignment with the Fantasy Pros power rankings coming out of the draft for the top 5 teams.
Okay.
And so then the scrap heap after that.
It's Robin where, Peter to pay where, Paul. Where huh?
And I say scrap heap as in lovingly
love,
as I can.
Of course. Absolute love. Well, so Ben, we should have noted there was a name change. Old Dog New Tricks was debuted for Ben last week, which we're excited about because he's coming in swinging. And I got to tip my hat to Ben. I appreciate his words after our draft. He called, and maybe he was cursing me, and here I am double cursing it on the air. But he said, not only was I due for a championship ring, that I'm actually in a position based on the draft where I actually have a run at it. And I really appreciated his words on that.
Yeah.
So super, super. Yeah. Hey, thanks for that shout out.
That's good karma coming back to him. I got to move him up my draft board now.
There you go. Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. Can't wait to get your power rankings out. I'm going to try to get this episode out before the NFL kickoff, which is within the next 24 hours. Super excited to do that. Pete, what are you going to be doing this Sunday?
I'm going to be tracking football games. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be paying attention to my team. Got to get a victory. Exciting for week one is that there is a cash prize on the line for the top overall score. I don't think I'll be in it since it appears Le'Veon Bell will not be playing. That kind of hurts my week one chances, but that adds an extra element to it. You're not just competing in your head-to-head matchup, but you're competing against the rest of the league for top score and a little cash prize for the weekly winner. So that'll be fun to follow and see how that goes.
Absolutely. I think that's a great addition as a commissioner. Thanks for being creative and making each week have its own little mini competition, mini game going on. Since you brought it up, I'm going to go ahead and ask you. You predict that Le'Veon Bell is not going to close the deal before this Sunday, week one. You're likely going to miss that roster spot of points. But what's your call on the potential outcome of Le'Veon Bell this season?
So this is Wednesday before week one, and I think a lot of people thought if he had any chance of playing this week, he would have had to show up to the team meetings this morning, sign his franchise tender, and get practicing and ready to play. Even if he did that, I'm pretty sure he would have been eased into it. He's likely going to be eased into it whenever he does come back to the team. But that being said, I'm expecting he will not play week one, but he will rejoin the team and play in week two. That's my expectation right now. That's how I am still viewing him as a top pick, in terms of top 5 player in fantasy, because even if he misses week one and comes back and is himself by week 4 or 5, I think I'm still in pretty good shape. And so that's my expectation. If he misses week one, he misses out on $850,000 from his franchise tender contract. So that's a good chunk of change. Make it worth your while to show up. So I think he'll report on Friday or Saturday this week, sign the deal, collect his check for the first game, and then really get after it starting with week two.
All right. Well, you heard it here. We'll be on edge waiting to see that. Any other closing thoughts before we sign this one off?
No, I'm looking forward to everyone telling us how wrong we were. And hopefully we can have a guest on starting next week. It's always fun to invite a manager from the league to join us, talk about their team. We can get their thoughts on the draft and start of the season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully we will begin to see some pretty tight head-to-head matches as the quality of teams becomes apparent as we get into the season. And from there, begin to bring multiple managers on the air to duke it out. Of course, we look forward to having the anti-Pete back on the air and putting that discord back into the court of public opinion. Look forward to that in the form of Chewy. And of course, we'll get our local armchair stats man, Jared, to jump in and provide his thrilling commentary before too long as well, because it is the greatest fantasy football league in the world. And this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.